You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. So I'm looking ahead to the action coming up on Tuesday, the 29th of May. And on Tuesday, we've got racing coming up on Racing Radio from Lingfield, Leicester, Redgar, Gorham, Ballinrobe, Brighton and Wolverhampton. So it's a busy Tuesday of action. Please join us live on air from 1:30 for all the day's racing. But for now, on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined by Lord John Budden. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, John. I'm well. And it's going to be quite a hectic week one way and another, is it not? But possibly a little bit of a quiet start on Tuesday.
Yeah, it certainly is. I'll tell you what, John, we'll start off by having a look at your selections for Tuesday, and then we'll get on to the Monday jury and the Racing Post, where we take a look at some of the big issues being asked by the trade paper. So we'll start off with your selections. I believe they're both run at Redcar, and they're both in consecutive races.
They are indeed. In the 4 o'clock, which is a fillies handicap, and then the 4:30 over a slightly longer trip of 6 furlongs.
Okay, so how about in the 4 o'clock then?
Well, interesting runner, of course, from Mick Easterby's yard, Carlton Frankie. Now, Carlton Frankie was quietly fancied to run well at York last week, in a much better race than this. First time out for the season, didn't really, John, do a great deal. But it's interesting that the great man from Sheriff Hutton has brought out this filly again fairly quickly. And wears a hood for the first time, which is slightly interesting. I like Mary Banter, who comes up next, representing Paul Midgley and Paul Mulredden, who had to miss a few rides at the end of last week because he wasn't feeling too well, but hopefully he's full and fit now. Mary Banter has run two really quite good races over the past couple of outings, a win at Catterick, and then a good second here at Redcar. And it was beaten by just another bottle in the end, but it was only half a length, John, or so, and it was only in the closing stages that she was caught, Mary Banter, I thought would go pretty well. A Peace Dreamer comes next for Robert Cowell, a winner at Bath, and drops back in distance a little bit here. They've always got to be respected, the Robert Cowell horses, but I just thought that perhaps the North would hold their own. And what interests me right at the bottom is Brian Rothwell. Now, Rose Marmara represents Brian Rothwell, and also Cam Hardy. Now, Brian Rothwell doesn't often have winners. Really anywhere, but that perhaps is a little bit rude, but he's one of those in and out trainers who have to do well with a fairly modest bunch. But Rose Marmara,
he's had two winners from 178 runners.
Yes, I didn't want to be too cruel, John, but nevertheless, Rose Marmara was really quite a decent winner last week. I think it was at Catterick. Has a £6 penalty. And Cam Hardy rides again. So Rose Marmara's got to be seriously considered for a quick follow-up from the Brian Rothwell stable. However, the selection will be Mary Banter to win for Paul Midgley and Paul Mulrennan.
Mary Banter for John Budden then in the 4 o'clock at Redcar. And how about in the 4:30?
Well, the 4:30 is quite an interesting little race. Only seriously about 4 or 5 runners at the most who catch the eye. In fact, 4. Now, one of them is the John Quinn horse, which is Mr. Wagyu. I don't know whether you call him Mr. Wagyu or Mr. Wagyu. I think it is. Must be Mr. Wagyu.
There's a definite Y in there.
Yes, so, there is, isn't there? And Mr. Wagyu ran pretty well in this kind of company last season. But I was speaking to Sean Quinn, John's son, of course, well known here in the William Hill HQ, and he said that Mr. Wagyu had in fact run poorly so far this season, and you'd have to improve quite a bit, but that he was by no means without a chance in this race, which was especially chosen because it is not particularly competitive, and as a result one has to take quite a serious consideration for Mr. Wagyu. But there are a number of others in this particular contest which need to be looked at. No betting, I suppose, for this particular race, John.
We've got a betting forecast, but we haven't got any prices.
Yeah,
yet.
What? Just nip down the betting forecast for me, would you?
So on the betting forecast, Dane Hill Desert is 7-2, 6-1 Parima, Our Little Pony 7-1 with Riverside Walk, Brian Ryan, Dizzy G, Mutterbury Scoundrel, all 8-1, 10-1 Fink Hill, 16-1 Mr. Wagyu, and 25-1 for Solifat.
Yeah, well, Wagyu's quite a long price, isn't it? Yes. I don't like Brian Ryan. I can't see him winning from the top, and I'm not that interested in Scoundrel running, I think, for the first time this season, but nevertheless comes from a stable in form, Tim Easterby, and might have to be considered. I narrowed it down to Mr. Wagyu, who I think probably will have to overlook, and Dane Hill Desert. Now, Dane Hill Desert looks to be nailed on here. Ran particularly well at Hamilton last time out, was only just beaten, and it was quite a decent race, certainly as good as this. And one of the things, John, which has been impressing me over the past week has been the dual motivation of Richard Fahey and Tony Hamilton. I'm actually delighted to see Tony Hamilton back among the winners. I thought he gave Mr. Lupton, for example, a really excellent ride on Saturday, and he's been a key figure in the Musley Bank stable for a long time, and he remains a very, very high class and competent horseman, and I think he will win this race in the 4:30 on Dane Hill Desert, who does not improve much on his Hamilton run to score here.
Dane Hill Desert then for John Bunn in that 4:30 at Redcar. So those are your two selections at Redcar on Tuesday then, John. We turn our attention now to the Monday jury in the Racing Post, and here we've got questions which, it's fair to say, concern racing, slightly higher quality. And we start off, it's rolled around already, the Investec Derby on Saturday. Who are you going to be siding with in the fourth classic of the season, and certainly the most famous classic of the season?
Yes, it's amazing how quickly the time's going, John, isn't it? Here we are at Epsom on Saturday, and it'll be Royal Ascot before you can even sort of turn around. Yeah, well, will Saxon Warrior be the good thing? I mean, that is what the question has to be asked. And he won the 2,000 guineas like a really good horse, and one that would almost certainly look to be even better over a longer trip. And nothing which has happened since then would suggest that Saxon Warrior was not going to be the one they've all got to beat. But it's awfully dull selection. I thought that there were a couple of runners who would certainly give him a good run. Roaring Lion has to be considered. I thought was a really good winner of possibly a slightly substandard Dante at York, but nevertheless quickened well, lengthened well, and at the back of my mind, John, was something that John Gosden said after this horse had got beat first time out at the Craven meeting at Newmarket, when he was considered to be something of a good thing, and John Gosden said yes, he'll improve a lot out of this. I was quite pleased with the run. I told the owner that I reckoned it was only 80% fit for this contest and would improve. Well, has improved. And I do think that Roaring Lion could go quite well at a reasonable price. And, of course, at a much longer price, we have Mark Johnston's horse on DXB. There's been a certain quietness from the stable after the unfortunate defeat of Eloquam in the 2,000 guineas at the Island on Saturday.
What was it? I can't see him being beaten.
Yeah, there was a lot of very confident words, weren't there? But this horse of his in the Derby has run, you know, a couple of decent races in good class company. At Epsom itself, we didn't have much of a run and finished third, and then at Chester. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see DXB get into the frame at a long price each way. So there we are. Sorry, we're going too long about this number one question. But Saxon Warrior is obviously the one they've all got to beat. But I'll be roaring for Roaring Lion and DXB.
Saxon Warrior is the favourite at 4-6, Six Storm for Roaring Lion, and DXB 33-1.
Yeah, it's a very long price, and you could easily get into the frame.
So the day earlier, we have the Oaks, of course, the Phillies equivalent race. The complexion of this race having changed a little bit over the past week or so, with the Gosden filly having to miss the race. John, who are you siding with in the race now? It looks a lot more open.
Yes, it is open. I'm going to be short about this. I think Wild Illusion's got every chance of winning this. It's quite considerably chance increased over the past few days. I ran decently in the 1,000 guineas. Charles Appleby's horses have been in great shape throughout the season, so Wild Illusion's got to go quite well. I like a Sea of Class in this contest myself. Lightly raced, but very impressive, and on certainly the last occasion. And we don't quite know about the potential of Sea of Class. What we do know is that the yard is in great shape.
Sea of Class, then, for John in the Oaks. Takes place, of course, on Friday. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Sea of Class can get the job done for William Haggis, who, of course, has Young Rascal fancied in the Derby 24 hours later.
Absolutely. And their horses are running out of their skins, are they not? So perhaps it's foolish not to have mentioned Young Rascal. There we are.
Sticking with Epsom now, of course, the Dash is one of the most competitive sprint handicaps of the year, often referred to as sort of the fastest 5-furlong horse race in the world, John. Have you got any early fancies for that one?
Well, I've got two. One a negative and one a positive. I read the Monday Jory quite carefully this morning, and I was astonished at the number of people who thought the Caspian Prince was going to win it again. I fancy that is not going to happen. And we don't know, of course, the draw or what the ground is like at this stage. But I napped a horse of Charlie Hills's earlier in the year, who I thought won very well at Chester, A Moment of Madness. And at this stage, I thought A Moment of Madness, given the fact that he gets a reasonable draw, will be very hard to beat. He's particularly fast out of the stall, which is very important for the Dash.
A Moment of Madness, then, for John. As you mentioned, a winner at Chester last time out for Charlie Hills, also a winner at Kempton on the all-weather earlier in the season. He's in good form. Can that continue in the Epsom Dash? It comes up on Saturday at 3:45 live on Racing Radio. We turn our attention now a little bit further afield. You actually mentioned Royal Ascot, John. What sort of chance would you give Romanized in the St James's Palace Stakes?
A fair chance. It just strikes me that this particular renewal is not perhaps one of the real vintage occasions. And there's no reason why Roman Eyes shouldn't go very, very well in this contest. I thought it was a good winner at the Curragh. And the connections obviously fancy that he has got plenty of improvement. So the answer to the question is yes. I think he's got a reasonable chance. He won't necessarily win, because I think on the day there will be others back to beat him. But there's no reason why this Irish 2,000 guineas winner shouldn't go well.
And surprise, surprise, Saxon Warrior the favourite for that one at 5-2. Though I can't see him running in the Derby and then running in that.
Surely not. No.
Without Parole, 3-1. Tip 2 win, 5-1, 6 is Augusta F. Klimt. And US Navy flag.
Tip to win is, of course, the interesting runner. It would be great to see him win, actually. Sitting in the studio about, I suppose a week before the 2000 Guineas, there was an emailer who wanted to know all about this particular horse, what chance he had. Everyone in the Epsom area saying he's going to run really well at Newmarket. And, of course, I was left pretty blank because didn't really know what form had been shown by this particular animal. And what I did see was not particularly encouraging. And Paddy Aspel was with me, and he said, oh, no, forget all about it. I thought, well, at least Paddy, there's a bit of the jockey form, but ran tremendously well. Loved to see him run well at the Royal Ascot.
Sticking with Royal Ascot, Merchant Navy impressed on his first start for Aidan O'Brien. Can he follow up in the Diamond Jubilee?
I might do, but it's asking quite a lot. And what price do we get about Harry Angel, for example, in that race?
I'm just trying to get the prices up now.
I just thought that there were a number of more proven performers who would come in front of that Aidan O'Brien runner, but one may in fact be wrong.
He's actually the 4-1 favourite for this. Oh no, he's not. Harry Angel's just popped up here. 5-2 for Harry Angel. Unsurprisingly, the favourite. Merchant Navy, the second favourite. 4-1.
Well, I'm afraid I stick with Harry Angel. Hasn't, of course, produced his best form at Ascot in the past. There were a number of detractors about his reappearance run, but I got the impression that the connections were more than happy, and I also got the impression that perhaps it was Royal Ascot which was at the top of their agenda, and they certainly didn't want to give Harry Angel too hard a test in the run-up to Royal Ascot. So, Merchant Navy obviously a really improving sort, but I'm afraid I'm with Harry Angel.
Harry Angel and the Diamond Jubilee then, and we're almost out of time, John, but last but not least, do you think we've seen any other Royal Ascot winners over the past week or so?
Yes, I agree with James Tate. I think Invincible Army's got a really good chance in the Commonwealth Cup. Invincible Army was only just beaten in the Sandy Lane Stakes on last Saturday. Absolute whisker, and he was running on really strongly at the close. I firmly believe, John, that James Tate is going to have a really good year. We saw that he was good enough to compete in Group 1 company in France recently with his filly, and I thought Invincible Army ran really well, head down, only just beat, and I could see him suited by Ascot. So Invincible Army for James Tate.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for your thoughts today on the podcast, John, and we'll look forward to hearing how your selections go on at Redcar, of course, on Tuesday, and all of the Epsom Festival and Royal Ascot live on Racing Radio. We'll have you back in the podcast studio soon, no doubt. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.